Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. Got a great show. I say that every week. I mean it, earnestly, every week. And I'm a little fired up today. And I don't really know why. Good night's sleep. I'll tell you what it is. And I was telling our friends this on KTTH before we joined. Because for those of you down in Portland, we're on three stations. So we do 770 KTTH up in Seattle. We do 97.3 Cairo in Seattle. And you guys down in Portland. So we got different stations. And the way it works out is the first 3 minutes of the show aren't heard by anybody else except the folks on KTTH. So we do a little intro. And I give them a little tease, you know, a little chat. We have a chat. And KTTH was the first radio show we were ever, or station we were ever on. So that's kind of our crib, right, if you will, our incubator. So they've heard my rantings against the Federal Reserve. I'm fired up at the Federal Reserve today for several reasons. And then also there's actually a decent thing about the Federal Reserve. We're going to get into that in the market update. Or not about the Federal Reserve. Hold on. And it sounds like I'm mincing words. Stay with me. Jerome Powell, Jay Powell, gave an interview the other day. And we're going to get into that in our next segment. We're going to get into the interview and what he said, because it's something that I've been saying for a long time. And you know what? I think the issue of why I'm fired up is I'm glad that he finally told the truth about the state of the economy. What I'm disheartened by is that, you know, in the Bible, in the book of Solomon, I believe it's in Proverbs. Solomon says the increase of knowledge is the increase of sorrow. I think that is really true for the finance world. The more you know, the more you're disgusted and the more you're frightened, because you realize, you know, how messed up everything is. And I heard one client come in, and, you know, one of the processes to becoming a client of ours, and I think that this is true with most firms, I don't know. But one of the things that we think about is, do we want more clients? Well, sure. It's one of the reasons we do the radio show. You know, we want to grow our business. But unlike a lot of other firms, when we're talking to new clients, it's a little bit of an interview process on our side, because we have very little client turnover. And quite honestly, the client turnover we have, I can't think of a scenario in which the last 5 years it wasn't good. Meaning, it was either them leaving or us asking them to leave. And the ones that have opted out on their own that we didn't ask to leave, we were all excited that they did. Because this is a partnership, right? You don't have to be identical. We don't have to think exactly alike. But core values have to align. You know, because we're dealing with money. It's one of the most personal relationships you'll have with somebody outside of your family, right? How many people know the ins and outs of your finances? Not many. Right. So it's naturally a very personal relationship. And we had one such client come in and make a comment that, yeah, we like to listen to Zach's show, but he's always droning on about the same thing or something like that. Needless to say, we sort of passed on them as a client, because I do reiterate things and we come back to talk about the same topics. And it's not that I'm so thin skinned I can't take any criticism. But we're talking about what's applicable, what really matters. If you want to listen to sideshow nonsense, there's plenty of places to get it. CNBC is one. Jim Cramer's another. And if you're a big Cramer fan out there, I think he's a decent guy. I don't think he's trying to mess around with people. But just keep in mind, like everybody else, if Jim Cramer was that good at managing money, he wouldn't be on TV. Okay, so, you know, same with all these newsletter writers. If they were that good and they knew so much, why are they selling newsletters? Managing money is way more profitable. Right. But they came in and they said, yo, Zach's always just droning on about the same old thing. Well, it's the first time in human history you've got this group of people that that have no oversight, no government controls. They can't be audited. They have the sole ability and the uninfringed ability, right? The unimpeded ability to create currency out of thin air and do whatever the heck they want with it. Oh, they can't do whatever they want. The Federal Reserve Act limits them. They violated the Federal Reserve Act back in March. And the reason I hit on the Federal Reserve is that our country and our economy would be far better off had they left well enough alone. Now, I think that they needed to step in 08, 09. The flip side of that is that 08 and 09, among a couple other things, never would have occurred without the Federal Reserve mucking it up in the first place. And if you think the Federal Reserve works for you or is looking out for you, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, and if you want to know who they work for, look at who they go to work for after they leave the Federal Reserve. They get hired for millions of dollars a year at the biggest hedge funds and the banks. You don't think that that influences policy? When they know they got a $4 or $5 million job a year as an advisor at Citadel, you don't think that that influences their policy? And moreover, when you look at the Federal Reserve and the economists that make up the Federal Reserve, they have one of the worst forecasting records, if not the worst forecasting record, whether it's when they can raise rates, whether it's when they can quit quantitative easing, whether it's when they can lower rates, whether it's where they think we're at in the recovery, whether it's Ben Bernanke sitting there in 2005 saying that there are no risks in subprime mortgages. These people know nothing. They are academics. They are not practitioners, and they don't care about you. Now, are they all vampires with evil intentions? No. I just think they look at the financial world upside down. They look at it globally and they don't. And all you need to know is go listen to the interview that Jay Powell did where he talked about how the Fed has nothing to do with the wealth gap. I about fell out of my chair. They have probably 90 to 95% to do with the wealth gap. How is that? Well, what have they done since the recession? Artificially low interest rates, quantitative easing. How does that benefit the average guy? It doesn't. What's your proof? Well, the last, you know, from 2009 to 2019, you had the best run and biggest run in terms of bull markets in the history of the U.S. economy in the midst of the slowest rate of wage growth in history and the slowest rate of economic growth for our entire economy. So what did all of their practices do? It benefited risk assets, stocks, bonds. Who owns all the stocks and bonds? The 1%. Now, they might try to say it's unintended consequences. We're not responsible. Yet at the same time, they simultaneously want us to believe that they're masters of the economic universe. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You either recognize the deleterious impacts you've had on the economy and the average man's life, or you don't. And are they going to own up to it? Of course they're not. Well, we had to save the economy. Saving the economy was what you did in 2009. Running QE right up until 2016, they paused. They were only able to pause for what? A year and a half? 2 years, something like that? Now they're back on it, doing it. Bernanke said by 2013, the balance sheet would be normalized. At that time, I believe they had about $3.5 trillion on their balance sheet. Today, they're pushing $8. Another horrible forecast, right? And then they've created this bubble, which I think you guys have heard me say, I think it's going to go a lot higher. I just know how this story ends. I've seen this movie before. And who are going to be okay? The rich people. Who are going to get crushed? Average investor. As it always is. And then the Fed's going to say, well, it's not our fault. It's never their fault. I hate making blanket statements. I don't know these people personally. But if you think that, if you think they're working for you, you're mistaken. They're not. I really don't think they're making decisions to harm you. I just think that they are owned and that they buy into that they have to keep the big hedge funds and the big banks healthy or the whole system collapses. Well, you know what? Maybe that needs to happen because it's not working. Right? The average middle class guy, he's not getting his wage increases. Well, his 401k's up. Yeah, for now. with the highest valuations on record, with markets going berserk. Yeah, that's going to end real well. Anyway, I'm just coming in and blowing a little heat. We're going to get into it. I just had to get a little of that off my chest here about the Federal Reserve right out of the gate. We're going to get into the market update right when we come back from break. So stick with us. We're also going to dig more into this. Got a lot of other stuff to discuss. What's going on? What's caught our eyes? Oil, dollar, gold, the whole shooting match. So stick with us through the break. As always, you can call us 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Follow me at KYR Radio. We will be back right after the break. Stick with us. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors, and I want to say thank you for tuning in to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. If you're like me, you look forward to this every weekend. I have been working with Zach and his team for several years now because Zach gets it. He puts his clients first. And for me, that's what it's all about. I know retirement planning can seem daunting at times, but my personal experience has taught me having a professional in your corner is essential. And Zach and his team have proven to me and my clients to be a tremendous asset. Not only will he guide you through your options, he will listen to you and make your concerns his top priority. So give Zach and his team a call. You'll be glad you did. And when you're ready, we can show you how to make sure your retirement plans aren't derailed by an extended healthcare event. We have many options to protect your nest egg and your family, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. You can learn more about us and our upcoming events at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. I would love to tell you that that's it on the rants. The rants. I'm not talking Jason Rants here. For those of you in Portland, Jason Rants is does a show up. Good guy. Does a show up here on KTTH. He's also the station manager now, I believe. Isn't he? Yeah. And on Fox all the time. Jason's blown up. I don't even know if Jason would talk to me anymore. He's gotten big time. You know, he's a big deal. And I don't mean that. Of course he would. He's a great guy. I'm just giving him a hard time. Anyway, so let's get into the market update. So really quick, I think structurally the thing that I think is the most interesting thing going on right now is it's really amazing how this market continues to do this, which is the all-time high, the all-time closing high. Yeah, is that right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. The all-time closing high on the NASDAQ is 14,109. Today, you closed at 14,095. Okay, let's go over to the S&P now. So you're right there. You're just barely below the all-time closing high. You know, maybe like 10 or 15 basis points, something like that. So then we go to the, let's see, let's go pulling up the S&P 500. You're right at 39.34 is where we closed. I believe the previous all-time high was 39.32. Anyway, you're just fractions of a percent above that. Let's see, the Dow is closing all-time high, 13,543. Today we close at 31,543. Today you closed at 31,458. So you're just right there below. So the S&P is like a hair above its all-time high. NASDAQ and Dow are just a hairs below their all-time highs. And then interestingly enough, simultaneously, volatility, the VIX, the volatility index hit 2005 today. Now, the low water mark, correct me if I'm, well, you guys can't correct me. I'm used to talking to people that can talk back. but I believe, do not take me to the bank, but I believe the record low, or excuse me, the low close on the VIX since over the last almost 12 months now. Going back to, I believe, the third week of February. So we're just right there. The low close on the VIX has been right at 20, maybe a shed, a hair below, a hair above. The VIX has stayed above 20 the entire time since March. Today, the VIX closes at 20.05. The reason this is interesting to me is something has to give, okay? What I think you're going to see here is you're going to see, I think you're at one of two places. I think you're going to see a blast off here on the major indexes and another dip lower in VIX, and the VIX could head back down. I don't think this is going to happen just because of what's going on in options markets. And I kind of think the 20 on the VIX is kind of the new low. But, you know, you never know. I could be wrong. But the interesting thing is just everything is just tight. You like I was telling you, you've got the VIX at its all, you know, right at its low since back March. You've got the indexes, all three of the major indexes right there, one barely above, the other two barely above, they're below their all-time high closes. Something has to give. So I think what you're going to see is either a blast off on the indexes, and if you were to put a gun to my head, you know, the trend is still in place. So, I mean, until you see it broken, you know, and if you come in and you go, Zach, but economy, guys, if you don't know by now, I really don't know what to tell you. You just have to accept the fact that the stock market is completely disconnected from underlying fundamentals. Okay. It is its own thing now. Thank you, Federal Reserve. Right. So, we need to look at valuations and pay attention to it, but don't expect it to matter until this cycle breaks, because it just doesn't. And if you're a home gamer listening to this and going, oh, that's what you say, listen, we're not crying spilt milk. Our total portfolios year to date are up 20%. We're crushing the market. Okay, I'm not complaining. I'm not a permabear, contrary to some people that try to spin it that way. I'm not. I'm just saying something's got to give here. So I think you're either going to see volatility pop again. And let me just tell you, every time you've gotten down to this 20 range, right around 20, I mean, if you pull up an annual chart of the VIX, it just looks like a kid throwing a Super Bowl, right? You go down to 20 and boom, back up. And then you float back down to 20 and then boom, back up. So I think either that trend stays in play or the stock market trend stays in play, but they both can't, not here. Something's got to give. So I think next week's going to be really interesting. Could be wild. Could be wild both ways. Again, you're not, should it go up? God, no. I mean, this is ridiculous. But that hasn't mattered for a long time. You have to accept that. Right? Is it the way I'd like it? No. Nope. But we don't make the rules, right? We just got to play what's in front of us. And really, I don't see a lot of other things really at breaking points. Gold is still kind of in no man's land. The interesting thing to me, crude, we've taken, you guys know what our thoughts on are on oil. We expected it to be a wild ride. Quite honestly, I expected oil to be a much wilder ride than it's been. It's basically just gone up. Let me pull up the chart and look at this. I don't think we've had any, no, I mean, you pull up the chart since, you know, since they were giving it away, right? When oil went negative in April, you've basically just grinded very relatively smooth chart. You just grinded higher. The thing I think is really interesting is you're back to $60 oil. Last time we were at $60 oil, and I'm not talking about the small companies like in shale that got blown up. I'm talking about the big oil companies, but the last time you were here, it kind of reminds me of gold in some ways. The last time oil was at these prices, these oil companies were worth way more than this. right? Investors are still buying into this complete nutter nonsense that oil is going away in 5 to 10 years. It's hilarious. As a matter of fact, as part of the EIA update recently, the EIA is actually projecting, and I think this is really funny to all the clean energy fans out there. And I'm a clean energy fan too. I just, the mechanics of it, again, you guys have heard me say this a million times, we're just not there yet. We're not anywhere close. And anybody that says we are is trying to pump a stock. Okay. So just know that. But if you think oil is going away, EIA put out forecasts and they said that oil demand, oil consumption will be higher this year than it was in 2019. Not 2020, 2019, when everything was going great guns. That doesn't really sound to me like oil is going away. And why is it? For the same reasons we've told you on the show. What we do here in the United States, and to a large extent what they do in Europe, really doesn't have much of an impact. I think the most of it is lip service. The other thing is the steps that the Biden administration is taking is only going to put upward pressure on commodities. And here's the other thing. India and China and the other emerging markets, their oil consumption is growing by the day. And they represent, you know, 40 to 50% of the global population, whereas we in the United States represent 4.5. Right? So there's a little home country bias there. Gold is still, like I said, kind of in no man's land. Silver's at 27. If you notice, I haven't been pounding the table on the short squeeze in silver. You guys, if you expect a commodity like silver to behave like GameStop, it's not going to. Okay, you're talking about a market that is much larger with way more players in it. I know a lot of retail people are all hopped up on silver. I think that's a bad idea for a lot of reasons. I think silver will be a very good investment over the next 10 years, but not for the reasons that a lot of the people are out there talking about. You're not going to see, I think at some point you will, but you're not going to see a GameStop type run on silver. It's just not going to happen. Now, it may at some point. Okay, but that'll be for completely different reasons and a completely different market. That would be from rapidly rising inflation. So a little bit different of a game. The rotation into value continues. You go look, we had really interesting, over the last month, we had record inflows. And I just love this, right? Because this is so prototypical. You've got markets at record highs, record high valuations, and we had inflows into U.S. equity markets at a record in the last month. Again, this is exactly what you'd expect in a bubble, right? The more expensive the stocks get, the more fired up. And the disproportionate amount of that, I'm talking the vast majority of those inflows went into tech funds. Okay, if you are out there still chasing this, I want you to listen to something, okay? Small caps, mid caps, value has smoked tech over the last 4.5 months. And I think that it is just getting rolling. Okay. And the reason why, tech ain't beating the comps from last year. It was as good as it's going to get. There'll be some companies here and there, but that was nirvana for tech. Meanwhile, these value companies were left for dead at nothing. Okay. Capital is starting to flow back into them just based on portfolio rebalancing and a lot institutional investors like us that recognize, right, the rotation that's underway. Retail is still chasing the thing that's going to kill them. And I think it's pretty much already run its course. I mean, the outperformance, just look at the Russell 2000. It's not a value index, but by default, it's got a lot of value names in it now because they're small because they haven't gone anywhere. Go look at the outperformance of the Russell 2000 over the last 4.5 months. It has thrashed the NASDAQ. Guys, that hasn't happened for this long a period of time at any point during this entire run. I really believe the rotation is underway. The comps that these value companies have compared to last year, they're the easiest comps for them to beat probably forever. If you want to see growth and earnings beats, it ain't coming in tech. It ain't coming. And it's just the classic thing, right? At the tops of markets, the inexperienced investors sell what they should be keeping and buy the very thing that's going to kill them. It'll be true this time. Anyway, if you want a way out of that and you want some dynamic money management and you want to not get thrashed in the next market drawdown, And again, I'm not saying it's right around the corner. You guys know I think it's going higher. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Follow me at Twitter, at KYR Radio. You guys know the drill. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
As we age, we can't always plan on good health, but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. At Story Monson, a great way to learn about long-term care coverage is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their upcoming free long-term care planning live webinars, Saturday, February 20th and Wednesday, February 24th. You'll learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors we'll design a custom plan with you, like they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay our estate back if we never use it. I love how much time they spent with us. And it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up now for one of the free live webinars, Saturday, February 20th, Wednesday, February 24th. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. Thank you for sticking with us. All right, let's get to the economic side of it. Guys, so just to wrap up the general discussion on the indexes, I really think that what you saw, there really isn't much to report. There was some interesting under the surface movements on individual stocks. Our value portfolio had a really good week. Just stuck it to the market. I think we're up another several percent this week alone. It's been great. So that's been good. Other than that, on the general indexes, it's been very serene, kind of flat. And I think that that's what you see. I think that the markets are trying to figure out where to go next. And you see that with volatility. You're just, like I said, you're at this breaking point where we either need to break out higher, which I would think would lead to volatility dropping lower, or you're going to get a surge of volatility and a pullback. God knows we're due. And the reason I say we're due is not from a trader perspective, not because I've got insight that nobody else does, but markets don't go one direction. Okay. And this thing has just gone straight bloody up. We had a little turbulence a week or so ago. If you're a market bull, I'm agnostic. I think it's going to go up, but we're prepared for that not happening. If you're a market bull, You should probably hope that we get a pullback. Now, I know that sounds weird. But what you need, if this market's going to continue, you can't continue at this trajectory. You've gone parabolic. Now, the one way that we could continue, like I said, if you get a 10 to 15% retracement, you get some chop, you clear out some of the excess, get a continual push up on valuations on the value side of things a little bit to, again, to bridge that gap. And look, everybody's like, and just listen, guys, you can take this to the bank. Okay, nobody wants to admit they're a value investor anymore. I don't like that. Look, just don't say that. That's so dumb. Okay, it's just dumb. And when I say it's dumb, all investing is value investing eventually. Okay, if you don't believe in value investing, you will. Okay, you always will. Now, it's not to say you can't be successful doing it other ways. Look at the Motley Fool, for instance. They're not value investors. I don't even think they look at valuations. And if you look at David Gardner, he's got really good results. The caveat that I would give you to those guys is that you need to be able to stomach that level of volatility. Okay, and that level of volatility is not good for a retirement portfolio. If you can't tolerate your portfolio taking 60 to 70% hits and staying at that level for several years, you can't follow that trajectory. I also think there's way better ways to do it that provide more consistent returns over time. And that's really what you need. That kind of volatility in a retirement portfolio. And this is really simple math. You could look at a portfolio that made 300% over a 20-year, or let's say 500% over a 20-year period of time. And you could look at a portfolio that made 300% over a 20-year period of time. And based on the volatility of that underlying portfolio, someone in retirement that is taking income off their assets could go broke in the portfolio that made 500% over the 20-year period, and could be doing fantastic in the portfolio that made over 300% over a 20-year period. Sounds weird, right? Here's the problem. Let's use Amazon, for instance. Everybody wishes they would have bought Amazon, okay? Now, we're going to use Amazon as a proxy for your retirement portfolio. What people forget is that between the highs that Amazon put in late 1999 or early 2000, Amazon had two occasions over the next 13 years where it was down more than or down 90-91% from that high. If you couldn't sit on that position and wait for it to recover, you got smoked. And why do I say that's important for you as investors? Because how do we get you income every month? We do it by having to sell things in your portfolio, which means the bigger volatility you have in your portfolio, we will have to sell things at all points in there. So when the recovery happens, if you're selling Amazon stock to finance your retirement when it's down 91, you're not going to have any Amazon stock left by the time it recovers. So it doesn't really matter. Okay, that's what people forget. Volatility matters. Well, people forget it at the heights of markets, right? They don't forget it in the downturns. It really is amazing to me. The people that didn't want to buy a house and didn't want to touch stocks from 2009 to 2013, those are the people that are levered up right now buying out-of-the-money YOLO call options. And the unfortunate thing is the exact same thing is going to happen to them again. Now, when? I don't know. Nobody does. So all we can do is manage risk, guys. It's all we can do. But anyway, let's get into the economic discussion, because I wanted to get in my opening rant against the Federal Reserve was really started. You guys have heard me really throughout the last year of the recovery telling you that when you hear them say 6.7% unemployment, 7%, 6.3, that it's complete nonsense. Okay? And I've taken a little flack from that. People are like, yeah, you always say that, but you know, the official number. Okay, Jerome Powell gave an interview the other day where he said, look, the actual unemployment number is actually probably closer to 10. And I saw that and my mouth just dropped. You know, I went a gap, right? My chin hit the desk and I went, A, thank you for being honest. But B, why would you say that? You know, why now? Well, they're saying it now to justify the next round of stimulus, right? But this goes in to show you what a sham this has all become. These numbers don't mean anything. And yet we've all been trained to think they did, right? Because they used to, right? CPI, Consumer Price Index, same thing. Inflation measure. Right now, the Consumer Price Index is stuck right around 2. Okay, if you are awake, if you have the capability of fogging a mirror, if you've gone shopping at any point in the last 6 months, You know on the face of it that that is complete nonsense. If you've bought lumber, if you've bought copper, you know that it's complete nonsense. 2% inflation? Well, the CPI has been watered down to a point now where really, if you look at the components of CPI, it's basically measuring the cost of iPhones and flat screen TVs. It doesn't factor in housing, food, fuel, clothing, educational expenses. It doesn't factor any of that in. So they're right. All the things you don't need to buy, they're about 2% inflation. It's pretty tame. All the things you have to have are going ballistic. Think about that. Oil's gone from, you know, it was negative 37, but not really. That was the, it's complicated, but it really wasn't. But let's say it got down to 15, 18. That was the bottom. It's gone from 15 to 18 to 60. Yet there's no inflation. Look at lumber. Look at copper. How is this possible? It's possible because, guys, and I love this country. Okay, I'm not somebody that's down talking the country. I can't stand the institutions that run it anymore. Because at some point, the truth and honesty became liquid at best, became vapor. That achieving their aim became more important than being honest and leveling with the American public. The inflation rate's not at 2. You guys know that. The unemployment rate's not at 6.3. You know that. But they've jobbed these numbers. The markets aren't worth this. You guys know that. Bonds aren't worth this. You know that. And guys, you know, this is why we're pounding on the table saying, look, you know, it kind of reminds me, you know, in a lot of ways, I feel like we've become Russia circa, you know, the early 20th century, early, you know, late 19th century, you know, maybe it was even 19th century. That's where the term Potemkin village came from. There was an advisor with the last name of Potemkin who was advising the female czar. I'm blanking out. Been a long week. Anyway, he was basically in charge of their urban development, if you will. And to impress her, he was taking her on these carriage rides all around the country, showing them all the towns that they had built. But they weren't really towns. They were just facades. And they become to be known as Potemkin villages. That's sort of our economy. I hate to say it. It's sort of our market. Record highs, everything's great. 10% unemployment, record debts, record corporate debts, record bankruptcies stacking up. CPI at 2. No, it's not. Way higher. Right? Unemployment rate at 6.3. Head of the Fed just admits it's 10. Countries go through tough times. The thing that is so disgusting to me that at some point to achieve economic and political ends, and this has always been true to some degree. I'm not a Pollyanna. But at some point, the truth became completely expendable. Right? What is the truth? I tell that to my kids all the time. What is the truth? If you don't know the truth, you're blind. So what you have to do as an investor is you have to unhook yourself from this constant drip of ether that's going into your veins, which is quick money and easy riches and all this kind of stuff. And you better find a risk manager or you better become one on your own. And the reason I say risk manager, guys, and the reason you're not hearing me say a Chicken Little deal, oh, you got to call us because we're the one people that will save you from the impending crash. A, I don't believe that's true. I think other people can too. But B, I think it's just as likely you go way up from here. That's why I emphasize risk management. You've got to be okay no matter what happens. You have to have a portfolio that when value starts running, you can make 30 or 40% in 4 months. You got to have somebody that's looking at that. You got to also have somebody that's going to hedge your portfolio. So when this whole house of cards, when this Potemkin village goes up in flames, which it will, and if you don't think it will, you're either an idiot I don't mean to say that and put anybody down. It's just true. You're either historically illiterate or you still believe in childhood fantasies. And the tricky part is, guys, is that bearing up and buying a bunch of cash and treasuries, that ain't going to get it done either. What is the answer? It's risk management. And if you don't, and again, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, I'm right, listen to me. But if you sat there and thought that I was being too dour, which I've gotten emails and calls about that, the head of the FOMC just reiterated what I've been telling you for a year. The unemployment number is trash. Don't look at it. So here's the other question I got to ask you. If you don't think this market's in a bubble, how is it that you've got unemployment rates at 10%, record corporate debts, record government debts, record bankruptcies stacking up? What do you think makes the stock market worth anywhere close to where it is? Of course it's not. It also doesn't mean it can go up. It doesn't mean it can't go up. So if you're a bear or a bull, quit. Be a risk manager. Because if you're either of them could get run bloody over the next 3 years. And if the last year hasn't proven that to you, the beginning of the year, the perma bulls got smacked, right? And then since then, the perma bears have gotten smacked. What's the answer? Well, if you lost 5% or 6% or 7% during the market downturn in March, you're probably a perma bear, right? You got a really conservative allocation. If you've made a lot of money since then, you're probably a perma bull. Can you be both? Yes. That's what we've done. Our average client was down mid to low single digits in March. They've had a rip of a run since then. You can be both. That's what you should be. That's the way investors should think. If you get caught up in this bull bear, that's tribal thinking. It's killing our politics, and it's also going to kill you as an investor. You need to be a risk manager. And if you don't know what that means, if you don't know how to do that, then you call us. There's a better way. You can make great returns. You should talk to our clients. They're thrilled. Well, when you're, you know, anytime you're up, it's a value portfolio up 25.5 or something since the beginning of the year. And again, I'm not saying that's typical, guys. It's not, right? I mean, you make 25% a month. You know, you can't count on that continually happening. But it still illustrates my point. That value portfolio was down 14% in March when the market was down 36. Being a risk manager doesn't mean you make less. It means you make more. And it just also means you don't have to sell your vacation home during the next crash. There's a better way to do it. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, Know Your Risk Radio. If it's too intimidating to call, when you call us, they just book a call, okay? No one's going to run you right into the sales department. No one's going to run you right to my phone. They're just going to book you an appointment. Or actually, when you call, they're just going to take your information and then we'll call you back. So if you decide on Monday or Tuesday you don't want to talk, you just don't have to answer our call. Do I want your business? Sure. Well, if you're a nice, good person. but the other thing, and if you can't hear, we're passionate. We know what's coming. I don't want to see people get wrecked. And I like to tell all of our clients, look, in the beginning, you got to believe us, right? But after you've been with us a while, you'll trust us. So just find out what else is out there. Can you get way better results to the upside and not get smacked during times of March or during times like March? Yes, that's what we did. It's possible. Do you have to pay 2% a year fees to get that? No. Like I've told you guys, we can drastically reduce your risk, increase your upside, and lower your cost. There's a better way. Call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, if calling is a little bit too much, shoot us an email. We can do it back and forth over email. And it doesn't obligate you to anything. We're not going to twist your arm. We brought in $100 million in new accounts last year. We're not going to twist your arm. We got plenty of people. We're just very passionate about getting a story out there and saving people some pain. So anyway, you got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick with us through the break. You guys know the drill. Also, you can follow me at KYR Radio. Radio Show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Again, you guys know it. We'll be right back after the break. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, let's get into it. One of the other things I wanted to hit on is Bitcoin. Okay, so here's the part where I'm going to tick off everybody. Okay, the people that think it's a complete bubble and a complete fad, I'm going to tick you off. The people that think Bitcoin is the next coming of a perfect currency and is better than gold and the new digital gold, I'm going to tick them off too. Okay, I'll reiterate what I've told you a bunch of times on the show. I love the concept of Bitcoin. I love what Bitcoin does. I think there are wonderful things about Bitcoin. As a matter of fact, I think the world would be a better place if we ran on Bitcoin. And that is exactly why I do not think Bitcoin will succeed in the long run. That being said, do I think you should have no Bitcoin? No. As a matter of fact, in our value portfolio, I think we've got about a 2% holding in Bitcoin. Now, here's how we did it. We did a little bit differently. We waited for a really nice entrance point. We bought our clients Bitcoin right around 15,000. Wish I'd have bought it 4 or 5, but you know. And then Bitcoin's now at 46, 47,000. When we reached a double on our Bitcoin, we sold our original investment. Okay. So that means that our clients that own Bitcoin now, they're just playing with house money. Right? If Bitcoin goes to zero, they still made money on the trade. Right? They can't get hurt. Now, here's why we have it. Because there are really good things about it. There really are. Again, nuance, right? Think nuance. Think, you know, very often do extremes play out? Usually it's somewhere in the middle. Okay, now, Janet Yellen came out the other day and said that she thinks that crypto markets are getting out of hand. What I've long said is the reason why I don't think Bitcoin will be what everybody thinks it's going to be is the Fed and other central banks around the world that I've been railing against in this episode. Those same people have the unique ability to print currency out of thin air, and that is what has kept global economies afloat. I do not think they're going to cede that power to a group of hodlers, which is what Bitcoin people are called. Long story behind that. I'm not going to get into it. Or engineers making code that they're now calling currency. The idea that these people are going to cede that power is ridiculous to me. And I think that Janet Yellen's comments were really interesting because I've long said that I think the central banks will be the one that shuts it down. You can't shut down Bitcoin. Oh, people, you're talking about the U.S. government here. And you're talking about if they don't like it, the other central banks don't like it. If you want to take on the central banks of the world, be my guest. I don't want to. Why? Because they can stay stupid and irrational for centuries longer than I can stay solvent. And they do not want their power diluted by a bunch of hackers that come up with a cryptocurrency, no matter how good it is. And she made those comments and I kind of went, uh-oh. Now, she, of course, says the reason that they need to get this under control is because it's a danger to people. People are using it to traffic drugs and launder money. I went, well, that sounds like the U.S. government, right? It sounds like the CIA. We got Operation Fast and Furious, right? Is that really what they're concerned about? No, they're going to say that's the problem. But really, it's the power to create currency out of thin air. They don't want to cede that power. Why do you think they're getting paid $4 and $5 million a year after they leave the FOMC to be on these boards or to be advisors of these hedge funds? People go, well, because they're the smartest economists in the world. They're going to help them make money. Again, guys, they have the worst forecasting record in the world. The reason they get paid $4 or $5 million a year by these guys is for influence. So Bernanke can call his friends at the Fed and say, hey, you should start buying corporate bonds because I work for Ray Dalio and he runs a risk parity strategy at Bridgewater and his corporate bonds are getting blown up just as bad as his stocks are. Now, those aren't the words they're going to use. You know, I'm a big believer in look at incentives. If you want to see what people are going to do, look at their incentives. Is the Federal Reserve or the U.S. government's incentive to make your life better? No. Their incentive is to help out the big guys. And the same is going to be true with Bitcoin. When Bitcoin becomes a threat to the banks, if it gets big enough and becomes a threat to the Fed, they'll end it. How? I don't know. Maybe they'll hire CIA hackers to get in there and crash the exchanges. Maybe they'll make it illegal to hold it. I don't know. There's 18 million different things they can do. Does that mean you can't play in it? No. If you've got a risk management strategy, you can, like we do. But even then, not a lot. Anyway, we got to go. As always, guys, call us 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website. You guys know the drill. Follow me at KYR Radio. We got to run. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.